Welcome to Merrickville. It's Sydney's version of your weird uncle. Here's Merrick Watts.
Great to have your company, Sydney. There's probably about 14 people listening today after Australia Day yesterday. Joining me back in the studios this year, Chris Taylor.
Oh, how are you, Mez?
Good to have you here, mate.
It's great to be here in Merrickville. It's a whole new show.
And there's
so fresh. I've only been here 5 seconds, but I can tell it's fresh. It's very Sydney.
Yes,
I'm loving it.
Yes, and it is absolutely it's got its own rules here.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. So it's new, completely lawless. It's a lawless state.
When's bin night in Merrickville?
Every night. Right. Every night. You chuck it on your street and hope for the best.
Because I've brought a lot of trash with me today, so I'll just dump it on the microphones and let Merrickville decide.
Well, that'll help because I'm full of shit, so we'll have a good little bin of things to get into today. And in this hour, we're going to speak to a guy called Chris Hassan. He's the photographer who took that amazing picture of the young kid who was surfing and there was a great white shark directly underneath the boy. We're going to talk to him and ask him to come in here and take some pics. Oh, no, he's not. He's not going to take any pics at all. We'll ask him about that shark incident and some other stuff as well. Plus, what else have we got? Oh, up next, we're going to be talking about eye injuries. I'm going to show you live on radio, Chris Taylor, something, a video clip, and you are going to vomit. And if you don't vomit, I want my money back. Chris, I want to kick it off because a lot of people yesterday would have had a lot of fun and resulting, unfortunately, in fun, sometimes you have injuries. Now, we talk a lot about injuries on the show because, let's face it, we have got the most clumsy audience in the world.
And probably a clumsy host, too.
Absolutely. You've heard the first part of the show. But we saw a video today, and you can go to our Facebook page right now, Merrickville's Facebook page. Have a look at this. New Zealand breakers forward from the basketball team, Akil Mitchell, has restored his vision in his left eye after a horrific injury against the Cairns Taipans on Thursday night. He copped a finger in the eye, which saw it dislodge, his eyeball dislodge midway through the fourth quarter of the game, and it just came out of his face. Like the eyeball exited his skull.
He had a pop out.
Yeah, a full-blown pop out, right? Now, it's a little bit different. Like, you know, you're down at the beach, you've had a few cans, you don't realise what's going on, all of a sudden you've had something pop out. It's easy, you just pop that back in there.
Or cartoon style at the beach where a beautiful woman walks past and your eyes pop out
on
springs, different. But then they retract back and you get your vision. You know, it's quite comical.
Look, for the average Australian male, you're going to have at least a few pop outs in your life, but it usually is just a little bit of move the leg to the side, pop it back in.
Slip it back in.
With an eye, completely different. That's not what you do. Now, I'm going to show you some vision. My producer, Leon's with us, and Leon's got the vision of this game. This is Akil Mitchell, and he lost part of his eye popped out during the game. Have a look at this and let you respond.
All right, I'm just watching the video. Oh, my God. they went in for the close-up at the exact perfect moment, didn't they? Can
it's
I see
exactly
that again?
Right. Yes.
There he is. He's lying face down on the court.
You can see.
Then close-up, boom, eyes popped out.
Yep. Ah! How good is the timing? They've gone. Oh. He looks like he's hurt. They don't know the eyeball's out. They're gone. Let's just zoom in to see if he's okay. Oh my God, his eyes out!
Now look, in the age of Trump, is this real or is this fake basketball news?
Fake news.
We verified this image.
It's real.
Now I've never seen this happen outside of a cartoon or maybe a horror movie.
No, I have seen this, and this is the most incredible thing, right? We'll get the phones going now if you want to get in early. 1-333-53. We're talking eye injuries, eye infections, anything to do, any kind of problem associated with your eye. And I'm talking about maybe you had a worm crawl out of it. I don't know. Whatever it is, eye related.
Could you, like even as a party trick, and I don't recommend anyone do this, but if you were this way inclined, a bit of a circus freak, could you pop each of your eyes out, swap them around and put them in their opposite socket? Just as a party trick?
No.
Would that be medically possible?
No.
The line wouldn't be big enough, like the tendon.
No, you tear the optic nerve.
Yeah, right. Now that I put the idea in people's head, someone's going to try that
don't
tonight,
do
aren't
that.
They?
Don't do that, Australians. So this is a true thing that I saw. Oh, this would be so long, at least 15 years ago. I was riding my motorbike. There was a big motorcycle convoy from Sydney to Canberra.
Yeah.
So we all get on our bikes, there's thousands of people, and rode down to Canberra. Now I ride with what they call a full face helmet, right? And so that's just like, you know, a shield, like a proper helmet you would normally see. A mate of mine, let's just call him Brendan, because that's his real name. Brendan wears a skid lid or a skull bucket. So like that's, you know, like an open face kind of Harley. He rides a Harley.
Face is exposed.
Yeah. So he's got a half face helmet, right? Just a skull cap. and he wore goggles, right? Instead of sunnies, he used to sometimes wear the, like, you know, those
ski
old
goggles.
School, no, like aviator style goggles,
like Toad in Wind of the Willows. They sort of
like
driving goggles.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Sally, like, let's go for a drive.
Bingo. And he thought he was kind of cool and retro doing that on his Harley. Anyway, so Brendan's ridden the 300-odd k's from Sydney to Canberra. He gets down there, we pull up, and Brendan didn't realise is that there was a small gap, a small seal problem in the side of the goggles where the rubber met his face. And what had happened is it caused a vacuum. And he didn't know this. It was so small that over the course of the 3 hours that he was riding, it had slowly and unbeknownst to him sucked his eyeball out of the socket, but he didn't know.
No.
Yeah. I'm not kidding. I saw
How could you not know your eyes to pass the building?
Because it was so subtle and it was so incremental. It was 300 Ks. So he gets to Canberra. He gets off his bike. He goes, okay, boys. Here we go. Oh, Jesus, Brendan! Oh. What the? What's going on with your eye?
And You're looking a bit Marty Feldman.
Oh, it was like right out. And you could see all the blood and the veins on the inside. Like a part of the eye you wouldn't normally see if you were not a surgeon. And he's just got out and he's going, what? What? We go, Brendan, your eye's out of your skull. And he goes, boys, not funny. Not funny. I'm going, dude, you need to go and have a look. And he's going, don't, I'm not going. He's going, we're serious. We had to convince him. We took quite some time. Mm-hmm. So he goes up and he has a look at the rearview mirror in his Harley and he's just gone, and it's just about puke at the sight of his own eyeball falling out of his head. Incredible.
Oh, my God. Just because there was a tiny little gap in the goggle that created a vacuum that sort of sucked it.
Yeah, yeah. Just very, very gently, the wind pressure slowly pulled his eyeball out of his skull.
How come Bonner, who wears glasses all the time, how come his eyes haven't popped out by now?
Well, we don't know. We've never seen them.
maybe
they've gone.
Maybe that's why he wears the glasses.
1-333-53. Give us a call now. We're talking about eye popping injuries. Now, they could be, it might have popped out. You might have done something weird and hurt them. Whatever it is, we
John
want to hear
it. John Hopper-Wardy might have fingered it out.
John's listening, that was Chris Taylor.
Taking your calls on 1-333-53 about eye injuries, because in the NBL, there was a young guy from the New Zealand Breakers, Ackle Mitchell. He got a bit of a jab in the eye by accident during the game and his eye popped out.
And no ref saw it.
We need medical right now.
No ref saw it.
His eyeball has popped out of his socket.
Oh my God.
That is horrific. We need medical staff to come and look. His eyeball is out. We are not going to show that.
Yeah, you did. It was awesome.
I thought it was a bit much showing the injury, but then when one of the players picked up the eyeball and started dribbling and getting three pointers with the ball.
It's also too, like, whenever you hear New Zealand commentary, you almost always associate it with something kind of fun and light.
Know, yeah.
So he goes, oh, look at that. That's horrific. Oh. And I just go, that sounds like something interesting. Did he say terrific? Let's get to your calls. We've got Raf in Maroubra. G'day, Raf.
Yeah, how's it going?
Really good, mate. All right, we're talking about eye injuries today.
Yeah, pretty of a shocker for the poor bloke. But, it didn't actually happen to me. It happened to a mate of mine.
Yep.
And he was on the job and just got a speck of metal in his eye. It wasn't anything major. And they took him off to the hospital. And basically they set him up on the table and they were checking him out and put some drops in his eyes and said, you're not going to be able to see anything in there for a while out of the eye. And they started playing around and... Basically, I just told him, look, just sit there for a while. We'll be back in a second. And he was just sitting there, and there happened to be a mirror to the left-hand side of him. And he looked in the mirror, and what he saw just sent him into shock. He just saw his face with his eyeball hanging on his cheek. It was just unbelievable when he told me the story.
His eyeball was on the cheek?
The doctor hadn't told him that at that point?
No, don't think so. They just said, just told him to hang on, and he just hold on there, and he looked in the mirror, and he saw himself with his eyeball hanging out. Okay. Unbelievable.
Raph, I've got to ask this, right? Like, if he just got, like, a little splinter, like, a shard of metal, which is, very tragic, but not uncommon, and it's gone in the eye, what was the eye doing yet? Is it like... You know, when you've got to work on an engine, you just go too hard, I'll just take it out. I'll just hoist it out. Did they just hoist the eye out so they could work it over?
Probably, yeah, I'd say so.
What do you do? Get a little mini ice cream scoop, like one of those little cantaloupe scoopers? You just get that.
Here's my question, though. Like, could he have still seen out of that eye? Could you turn that eyeball around and look back at yourself?
Yeah, absolutely.
No, he said he couldn't see out of it.
Couldn't see out of that one. So he was looking out of his good eye at his bad eye.
Yeah. Yeah, and he saw himself in the mirror. It was like a horror movie. He said, It's incredible. It'd be pretty advantageous to being able to pull your eye and sort of looking around the corner and stuff like that.
It would be very handy. You know what I mean?
It'd be really handy.
Absolutely. You know, particularly if you've got kids, you know, you can still watch TV and just get that eye. Just go, I can see you, Glenn. And then put it back in.
And
there.
It'd be great if the injury happened to you on Halloween because you wouldn't need to, you know, fork out for a costume.
Exactly.
Just go trick or treating, go holding your dangling eye out.
Look, right now, I think we've exposed some of the great advantages of having an eye fall out. We've got Ben and Francis for us. Hello, Benny.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Very good. Eye injuries.
Yes. It was about 2006. I was at a farewell party for my sister, and I've had a few sherbets and decided it'd be a good idea to try and climb on the roof. So a mate of mine boosted me up. As I've gone to climb up, lost my grip on the roof and slipped back over a hand railing, and went 8 metres down onto the pavers, and hit my head on the hand railing, sort of the stairwell led up to the balcony on the way down, and the eye didn't come out onto the cheek as such, but it sort of went half to three quarters of the way out and just sort of stopped, couldn't see out of it at all, and then sort of everyone come running around and went, are you all right? And I sort of sat up, and everyone's just launched back, going, whoa! And eventually it just sort of fell back in when I lay down and then sort of started to see stars after a while, but then it came good. But
see, was this like a pressure thing? Like, you know, your head copped such a blow that the pressure kind of popped it out like opening a can of Pringles, Ben?
That's pretty much how they explained it. Not by the Pringles, but just the... just the kinetics just jammed it and it just launched out. It just wanted to keep going.
Probably lucky that you didn't suffer any more serious damage. Like, people die with an 8 metre fall, I would have thought. So you're pretty lucky in one sense.
Yeah. Maybe that was like an old school pressure valve, Ben. You know, like when your hot water services has to let off a bit of steam, that your head's just gone, just blow out an eye, let the steam out.
We'll just go that path first.
Jesus. Well, you're lucky, Benny. Thanks for your call, mate. It's not surprising. I would say surprising, but it's Triple M, so not very surprising that we have so many calls about when's your eye falling out of your head.
It'd probably a better call that would have been, which of my listeners haven't had their eye pop out?
Let's get to it. We've got time for one more.
We'll do one more.
Excellent. Peter in Mittagong. Hello, Pete.
Good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, very good. All right. Talking about eye injuries.
So a mate of mine, we'll call him Davo because that's his real name as well.
Excellent.
He was scratching his ear using one of those, you know, like the pen lid from a kilometre ago pen or something like that. He was scratching around in there, hooked around his optic nerve and went to pull it out. He pulled his eye back into his head.
Oh! Whoa! Outstanding.
So he's got a pen lid on his ear.
Yep, trying to scratch it and like get a bit of wax out or something like that.
And he's gone so far down into the ear that he's hooked onto the optic nerve of the eye inside his head.
Correct.
And pulled the eye in.
Pulled it back into his head again. Yeah, he passed out.
Interesting.
Oh, my God.
Interesting historical footnote here, Peter. That's actually where the term the pen is mightier than the sword comes from.
Oh, that's outstanding.
Merrickville. Doing burnouts on the back streets at 2 a.m. in a Tirana. It's just how we roll. Triple M.
Great to have your company, Sydney. Chris Taylor with me this afternoon. And you may have seen in the news or online or something like that an incredible photo. One of those photos where you just, it makes you feel a little bit sick in the stomach. Of a picture of a young boy, Eden, who was surfing at Samurai Beach in Port Stephens. His dad took a photo of his son from the beach, took a snap, went, oh, it's just him surfing. Good shot to have. Zoomed in on the photo, as you can do with digital images, has a look at it, and there is a 3-meter great white shark just under his son, right underneath his surfboard.
If you haven't seen the photo, it's on our Twitter page, at Merrickville FM.
Okay, so Twitter and on our Facebook page and everything else, you'll find it. You can't miss it. The man who took the photo
himself. It's also on greatsharkpics.com.
I reckon it's on everything right now. Americans are not afraid of having a look at this stuff as well. Chris Hassan is the photographer. He's the father, and he joins us on the line now. G'day, Chris. Thanks for your time.
G'day, guys.
Mate, first of all, how deeply do you crap yourself when you see that your son has just surfed over the top of a 3-meter what?
Yeah, it's a bit of a worry to start with. I mean, it's a cool story to tell now, but yeah, no, I freaked out a bit. Shark, come in, and the other four boys out there, They came straight in and, we had a look at the camera and the image and I just went, no way. And then they're all high-fiving Eden. So, Shark boy.
He's a legend. So did Merrick sort of tell the story correctly? Did you not actually see the shark with your own naked eyes? It wasn't until you sort of zoomed in on the photo image?
Yeah, that's correct. Look, I was on the rocks taking photos. He was out with his 12-year-old sister and she'd come in 15 minutes earlier.
Very smart.
There were four other... Yeah, that's why girls live longer than guys, I think. he'd come in and I said, why don't you go out for one more? And he said, okay. So he's paddled out in the rip beside me in the rocks and I said, get a left. You'd be going right into the rocks. So he's taken off in this perfect wave and I thought I saw something. That's why I normally wouldn't zoom in on a photo, but I thought I saw something and I went click, 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 took six photos down the line. He rode it to the beach and I looked at the first one. He's taken off. I went, nah. Looked at the second one. I went like, no. And then I called him in. I went, shark. And he came in and I did the shark signal to the boys out the back and they all came in. Yeah. And the rest is history. It just went nuts after that.
What's the official shark signal? Is that you putting your hand on your head like a fin?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay, so your son's coming. I mean, first of all, it's just awesome that he managed to catch that wave, particularly if it's breaking left and you've been riding the other way. So, he's lucky because if he'd kind of rolled out of that wave, he could have been right on top of it and he could have been in a very different set of circumstances today.
Well, he did. One of the boys who came in was the champion. I think he's an Aussie champ spearfishing. And he said, look, Chris, there was a whole heap of stingrays, hundreds of them. And he said that the sharks, apparently, the whites especially, it's a delicacy. So it's probably having a feed on them. But there was also a huge school of mullet had just come in, he said, just before that. So it's probably cruising out. Now, if he'd follow. Look, we all asked Eden, did you see anything? He said, I saw a shadow as I was taking off, but I thought it was seaweed. And the photo shows he rides over the top of me. He said, I felt my board slow down, but I thought my leg rope got caught on seaweed. As it swirled. But those white, like a juvenile white, like they're sort of, the experts have said they thought it was, about 2.5 metres. They say they normally just sort of, they're not interested in bigger, they're looking at fish.
I mean, it's like when, particularly when the salmon are running around Australia, if the salmon or the mullet are running, whatever it is, they're after those school fish because they can pick them off, they're not, and it, particularly if you're not in an area where there's a lot of seals. But this is, of course, Merrick is the version, Australian version of Jacques Cousteau. So, I know everything about it.
If it was a tiger shark or a bull shark, it probably would have been a different story. Mm. But look, they're intelligent animals. They've been known to, that size, just to poke the head straight up out of the water and have a look around. They do odd things. So it's probably cruising out to the mullet, and then he's come along in his yummy yellow wetsuit done a little spin sideways. In fact, one of the guys on the, because it's gone all over the world. It's gone to, it's gone from front pages in UK to CNN and all America.
I hope you're claiming your royalties, Chris.
Cash in on this, Chris. Get him. You know what you need to do? First of all, teach him to dance like Ellen. Get him over there and ka-ching.
And then get 60 Minutes on the phone and start a bidding war.
I'm not joking. This is, in all seriousness, your son could earn $200,000 if he invented a dance called the Shark Dance and did it on Ellen. That's $200K, mate. Not even kidding.
Probably 300K if he actually got bitten.
Yeah.
He's right here on the skate.
Get him on the phone. Get him on the
phone. Ian and the shark there. And come off the skate. Come over here. The boys that want to talk to you on the radio. Yeah, you got to do the shark dance. Hang on. I'll put him on.
You got to do the shark dance on radio.
Hello.
Eden. How are you, champ? How are you feeling?
Good.
Are you aware you're a worldwide phenomenon today?
Mate, we're going to figure out a way to monetize this. Yeah. Eden, we're going to get you some cash for this. Will you go on Ellen's show with a brand new dance called the Shark Dance that you've invented that I've helped you rehearse and learn and for a small fee can give to you?
Yeah, definitely, of course.
Sweet.
We'll get merch out of this.
Who wouldn't?
Sky's the limit.
Man, that's it.
Now,
Eden, you're awesome.
Eden, how many great whites have you seen in your lifetime?
When? Out in the surf or just normal?
Out in the surf.
This is my only one.
This is the first one. So it's pretty rare in Port Stephens to see a great white, is it?
Yeah.
Well, you've certainly you've put Port Stephens on the map. It's not just Ballina and Byron that can claim to be having great whites. Now, Port Stephens is in the race as well.
Yeah.
Now, Eden, you're 13 years of age, aren't you, mate?
Pardon?
How old are you, 13?
No, I'm 10.
10? I thought you were 13. 10 years of age. Oh, just off being at that age where you can really impress the girls with a I ran over a shark story. Yeah. But, mate, when do you start back at school, Eden?
Next Tuesday.
Okay, next Tuesday.
You've got a story to tell on your first day back.
Here's a tip for everybody who goes to your school. Forget about show and tell. Eden's got you pined.
Yeah.
Hey, Eden, what age do you stop becoming a grommet and become a fully fledged adult
after
surfer?
You run over a shark? Yeah.
Pardon?
Like, are you still technically a grommet, or when do you go from being a grommet to an adult surfer?
I don't know.
There should be that should be in the Australian Constitution, shouldn't it? The official age you stop being a grommet.
Yeah.
Eden and Mick Fanning are starting up. We beat up a shark club.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what you need to do? Go back out there and punch it in the face, Eden. No, actually, don't. You know what? I didn't say that. Eden, thank you very much for your time, and thank your old man Chris as well. And best of luck, mate. Be careful out there on the waves.
Thank you.
Good on you, champ. And remember, ka-ching, ka-ching, cash in. Get on Ellen, do some stupid dance, and make a fortune, mate. Set yourself up. You know what housing prices are like? No, you don't, because you're 10. Chris Taylor with me this afternoon. Chris, I actually want to talk about something that kind of affects Australia. Of course, yesterday, Australia Day. It's contentious for some people. Some people
or
want
to...
Or
as we call it in Merrickville, Sydney Day.
It's contentious still and will be for a long time and potentially until something changes because obviously there's very different opinions about whether or not it should be celebrated because it does recognise the landing of the first fleet, convicts coming to Australia. That changed everything for Indigenous Australians. As a lot of people say, call it Invasion Day. People want to call it Sorry Day. And, of course, a lot of people just want to call it Australia Day.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, can I ask you your thoughts? What do you think about it?
Oh, look,
about potentially changing the day?
I think it's a no-brainer. Absolutely, we should change it. If you've got a day that a decent-sized percentage of your national population objects to and feels great sorrow and anger about, why wouldn't you move it? It's just a no-brainer, as I said. It's a lot of people forget, you know, the advocates of saying, no, we must keep it at January 26 because that's traditional, that's historically traditional. It's only been a public holiday since 1994. Australia Day is not very traditional at all. It's a very new public holiday. Obviously, that date is an important day in Australia's history. It's the date of our colonisation when the first fleet arrived. And yeah, as anyone who's read their history knows, that involved not only the dispossession of the original inhabitants, the Indigenous, but also a lot of bloodshed.
Absolutely.
A war, a genocide. And it makes no sense whatsoever to celebrate everything that's so good about this country on a date that divides the nation. So why not? I'd like to think if we do, and I hope we do, become a republic one day, whatever date that could be will become the new Australia Day.
Yes, that's what I'd like to
say. I also heard
a
wonderful suggestion on the comedians, the Axis of Awesome, came up with a suggestion that we should make it May 8, because if you say it in Australian accent, it's mate, which I thought was quite clever. But I don't find this controversial, and it kind of angers me that politicians still tie themselves in knots defending the current date because they think that's the will of the people. Most of the people I know are reasonable and wouldn't want to ever advocate a date that they know really upset some people.
Well, here's the thing, right, is that if you look at Australia Day, and I'm currently, I'm not saying that I'm overly educated in Australian history, but I'm currently reading The Fatal Shaw, which is a pretty comprehensive understanding of Australian history.
Fantastic book by Robert Hughes. Yes. It's the book if anyone wants to read about this period of history.
Now, here's the thing, just really quickly, if we remember, January 26th, Australia Day that we celebrate, first of all, I've got to say, got to have an Australia Day.
Got to have one.
Got to have Australia Day because we've got to, and it's an acknowledgement of 40,000 years of occupation in this country. Mm. All the people that have ever been here, from the people who arrived here last week, the people who arrived here 40,000 years ago. But should we move it? Consider this. January 26, with the arrival of the first fleet, was not a, hey, let's get off the party yacht. It's not like it rolled into Sydney Harbour and just gone party. Let's break out some Coronas here and have a good time. You're talking about people who came here because they committed very petty crimes, most of them.
Came here to set up a prison.
And they came here in slaves. So many of them died, particularly on the second fleet, the second voyage to Australia. It's astronomical the way that they were treated and the way that they perished when they were transported and then when they arrived here. I don't understand why, even if you were like a white supremacist, why you would want to celebrate that day. Yeah. Because the day they arrived in Australia was a pretty crappy one. It's not a great, it's no, not a celebratory day.
Around.
Yeah, no. When they arrived, they're all like, oh man, this day, none of them wanted to be here. Not one single person who came on that boat really wanted to be in Australia. I reckon, and this is just for my, I think we should change the language around it. I think get rid of the day, move it away. Have Australia Day another day, and it should be a celebration, a thank you day. Thank you to everybody who's contributed to this country, from the people who were here 40,000 years ago to the people who arrived here last week. Mm-hmm. And it gives that opportunity. And I for me, if I had to give a date, I'd say actually, you said May 8, I'd say May 9. Which I think was the first time federal parliament sat in 1901. So we're federated in January 1. You can't have it because, quite frankly, I'm way too hungover from New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
I can't back it up.
And you've already got a public holiday that day.
I'm 43. I can't back it up like that anymore.
And is there no better reason to move the date than, even regardless of what you think politically, that January the 26th is just too early for a public holiday? We've all had holidays.
Wait, I did like 3 days of work and I've got to go on another holiday?
Like February or March is a bit, we need a holiday around that period. No, before Easter, but after New Year's Day and Boxing Day and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
So it's just too many holidays in January.
Absolutely.
And while we're at it, let's move Christmas. Like,
thanks, Chris. And I'm not going to lie, I have recently got into yachting. When I say yachting, I've got into yacht music. I don't get on yachts very often at all. But Leon, you like yacht rock as well.
Yeah, I love
it. A lot.
I love yacht rock.
A lot. To the point where, you know, you had a few cans.
Yeah.
And it was 2 a.m. in the cross and you went out and got yourself a dickhead tat.
Yeah, I got a tat.
Of what?
I got a yacht.
I can't believe you did. I'd heard about it. Show me that.
Do you want to see it?
Yeah.
I'm going to take my pants off.
The tattoo's on his arm, but.
Okay.
There you go, mate.
Okay, so Leon's got a tattoo of a yacht because you like yacht.
I love yacht rock.
So much.
Actually, myself and my other two housemates, one of my housemates has got one. He's out there.
Yeah, and you're only young dudes. How old are you guys? You're like in your 20s.
Yeah.
And you guys went, you love yacht rock that much, you got a yacht tattooed on your legs.
Yes.
You'd had a few, hadn't you?
Yeah.
Now, you do realise that just getting a yacht tattooed on your leg is a full dickhead move.
Totally. Yeah, of course I do.
What is it with young people, right, that a lot of it, and I see it a lot of it, and my mate Harley Breen's one of them.
Yeah.
Tommy Little, another friend of mine.
Yep.
They tend to get these tattoos just to be an idiot. You know what I mean? Like, they get a tattoo and they go, no, man, you don't get it. I'm not trying to be cool. I'm trying to be a moron with my tattoos.
There's a bit of that, I reckon. Yeah.
Are you guys having a competition? Is there a competition between young blokes now to get an idiot tattoo? To get the most idiotic tattoo? Like, I mean, that yacht, it's great.
What did you say in the meeting today?
But if my son came home with that, I swear to God.
My parents don't know yet. what did you say in the meeting today?
What? I said I was going to get one. Yeah. I don't have any tattoos.
Yeah, but you want to get a yacht.
But I want to get a yacht. Because I can't afford the yacht, but I can afford the tattoo. I want to know, on 133353, give us a call if you've recently, or one of your mates has recently, got an idiot tattoo or a dickhead tattoo.
Yep.
We'll just call it a moron tattoo, whatever it is. A silly tattoo, a fun tattoo, a tattoo that is, you know that when that needle is going, you're being an idiot.
Yeah.
You're doing it for a joke.
Yeah.
You're not doing, it's not like, oh, you got a flaming skull and there's a python coming out of its mouth. That's cool. That's tough. If I was going to get a tattoo, I'd get two tigers angry with each other in a bamboo forest standing next to a waterfall on my chest.
We had the guy last year who called up on the show and had the tattoo of the hammerhead shark next door, Stubby.
Love it.
Because he loves getting hammered.
Love it. I love that.
That's a perfect example.
Right. If you or any of your friends have recently got an idiot tattoo and you want to tell us about it, 133353, give us a call.
Also, if you want to tweet us a picture or on Facebook, Instagram, tag us in one, at Merrickville FM.
Yeah, we're going to get a picture of Leon's tattoo of his yacht. And I'll just say this. It's on his leg.
Upper thigh.
It looks like too far upper thigh, like so far upper thigh, it's down and like to the side of the upper thigh. It's not.
All right.
Because, mate, you'd be pretty happy if it was. Taking your calls on 133353. Great to have your company here on Merrickville. If you've had an idiot tattoo done, or you've got a friend that's gone and got themselves a tattoo that is more for a joke, more for fun, and clearly not thought through. Thing is with tattoos, guys, this is my thought. Go ahead and get them. I reckon they're great. I don't have any myself, but I think they are dynamite. when they're really, really good, you know, like when people put a bit of effort in, like maybe they get like a hokusai, you know, like the Japanese wave or a koi fish and stuff. I'm right into that. But when you roll up to work and you've just got a stenciled picture of a yacht on your big calf, or big thigh like Leon, my producer, has, just go, you've just done that to be an idiot. But that's okay. That's what people do now. They get idiot tattoos. Mitchell and French's Forest, hello.
How are you, fellas?
Good, mate. Do you know somebody who's gone and got themselves an idiot tattoo just for a laugh?
Yeah, my dad.
My okay.
dad did.
How old, Mitchell?
He didn't rush into it. He was 70. And he got Daffy Duck on his shoulder.
At 70?
At 70.
Is he on meds now?
You know that look that Daffy Duck had, that cranky old look that he gets when something goes wrong?
Yeah.
Well, Dad decided that he was turning into a cranky old fart, so he thought instead of having, he just thought that that was perfect for him, so he stuck it on his arm.
Oh, that's 70, great.
70th that's, birthday.
That's great. Is, and your missus, your parents still together?
Yeah, I guess they are.
I just wanted to know. I was just interested to see what your mum thought of it.
Well, she just sort of screws her face up, you know, like mums do. They give you that mum look, like just call you a tool without saying anything. But I don't know what to say.
Well, maybe she should get a tattoo of Scrooge, and that might, you know, form a bond for them.
No.
Okay. No, Mitch, I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I think it's great that it's 70. The year-old man has just gone, I'll still get an idiot tattoo.
Hey, Miz, Alex has hit us up on Twitter at Merrickville FM. He sent us through a picture. His mate had a sun-damaged mole removed, so now he has a tattoo there of an umbrella, a beach towel, and some suntan lotion. So he's always sunspot where the mole was.
See, it's just that you're just being an idiot.
I think that one's kind of clever, actually.
I think it's funny. That's the thing is, I think they're great. But like I see, you know, these young kids are 27 and they're going out just getting an idiot tattoo. You know that these things don't wash off in the shower.
But it's fun for you and I.
I know it is. Yeah. I never said stop.
No.
I never said stop doing this. Hello, Sam in Campbelltown.
Yeah, how you going?
Yeah, good, mate. Talking about idiot tats.
Yeah, my brother got a tattoo of the Tui's new stag on his arm.
Because he would never be able to find a Tui's new in, say, I don't know, a bottle shop or a hotel or anything like that. They're so rare. What is that because, Sam, as he's being refused service, he can't speak, so he just points?
Mate, I told him to call up and get a slab of beer because he's advertising for them.
Oh, yeah, he should too. That's not a bad idea. He clearly, like, he's, you know what's going to happen, though, Sam? He's going to get to about 60, 65, and he's going to slow down a bit, and he's going to have to get it to his old on the other arm. Thanks for your call, Sam. Let's get to Bella.
Hi, guys.
How you going, Bella?
I'm good. Right. I got the comic books, you know, Batman comic books, so you've got Bam and Pow, all those action bubbles.
Yes, yes.
Well, I got two hand-sized action bubbles, one on each thigh that says Bam and Pow, because like, when I used to play roller derby, so I always had this, you know, thing where I'd knock the chicks over and it'd be the last thing they'd see would be Bam or Pow.
That's awesome.
I really like it. If you're my daughter and you're listening, don't listen to Bella. She doesn't know what she's doing. That's great. It could have been for so many other reasons you got them there, but that's good to know that you're into roller derby. Bella, thank you for your call. Great to have your company, Sydney. Only 20 minutes to 6 o'clock, and that is knock-off time for me and for a lot of other people. We're probably driving home now. Good on you. Have a good weekend and be safe. Catch you later. Oh, no, sorry. Hang on. 20 minutes to go. Jeez, knocking off early. I tell you what is knocking off at the end of the weekend on Sunday is the tennis. Leon, my producers, are you guys been following the tennis?
Not really.
Yeah.
I just moved into a new house. Still haven't got it.
Don't have tennis in your house. Can't get tennis in your house?
No, I haven't got TV in the house yet.
What?
The antenna guy was supposed to come this morning. Never came.
Yeah, you're young. You've got Tinder, mate. You don't need TV. What do you need TV for?
Correct.
We only watch, old people like me, we only watch TV because we can't get on Tinder. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Liam, what's going on in the tennis?
Your wife, Georgie, was listening to that.
It's true. She knows it. That's why I watch so much TV.
I'll let you use my Tinder later.
I wouldn't know how to. You know that. Mate, Jesus Christ, I've only just figured out how to use a VCR. And they're out of date now.
We're at the pointy end of the Australian Open in terms of the singles.
Who's winning?
The Williams sisters are going to face off. Bit of a flash.
Wicked.
Yeah, bit of a blast from the past there. Venus and Serena will do battle in the women's final.
Yep.
And in the men's final, Roger Federer is through to the men's final, and Rafael Nadal plays Grigor Dimitrov tonight to decide who faces off against Roger.
Is there any tennis players who's called Gary Smith?
Andy Murray. He got knocked out, though.
Yeah. He's the only bloke I can think of in the tennis whose name I don't have to think about pronouncing before I pronounce it. You know what I mean? Like, everyone else has got to think about this.
Yeah.
Because if you say Kokovic, it will not... Anyway,
so I'm surprised the new New South Wales Premier wasn't an ex-tennis player.
Maybe related to them. You know, the interesting thing about the tennis on Channel 7 is I know they spend a lot of money on the rights for it and everything like that, but they get so much out of it because it's just the most massive cross-promotion that they can possibly have. Like, every single time they go to a break, it's always coming up after the tennis. On 7, have you noticed we've got this new show that it looks exactly like another show that we had a little while ago, but now it's got a twist. It's the same that you liked before, but something different with a twist. Are you ready for it, Australia? And you just go, we're cool with that.
Yeah.
Just show us the TV. But then they don't show you the TV show. It's all about coming up after the tennis. Now, I did this last year, and I want to do it again, which is the coming up after the tennis game. I don't actually watch the tennis, but I know about what's coming up after it. But I always like to put a little bit of twist on these new shows that you can expect from Channel 7 coming up after the tennis.
Monday after the tennis.
Okay, the most talented cooks in New South Wales come together in a battle to try and impress bikie gang judges in My Drug Den Rules. It's very now. Okay, next one.
Monday after the tennis.
Shannon Knoll attempts to regain entry into the hottest night spots around Sydney in I'm a Celebrity, Let Me Back In There.
Poor Shannon.
He's banned from Adelaide, so we're going to give him a chance. Unfortunately, what's going to happen? Shannon will be let back in. They go, sorry, it's closing time. It's 1:30. Lockout laws.
And he'll be singing What About Me.
Okay, this could be controversial.
Monday after the tennis.
Four single men try their luck picking up women at a bar while Scotty Cam does his best to ruin their chances. The cock block. When you can hear laughter through soundproof glass outside in the airlock, that's a good thing.
Do you reckon it'll be on at cock block o'clock?
Oh.
They were using that in the promos last year.
Cock block spectacular.
Okay, let's stop saying that word. We're going to get in trouble.
Okay, well, let's do one more before
I'm
taken off here.
Monday after the tennis.
He's stopped the greyhounds, he's closed down the cross, and now he's retired from politics altogether. Watch as former New South Wales Premier embarks on his greatest challenge yet, drug manufacturing on Breaking Bad.
Fictional TV show. Fictional, made up.
Not slander.
Should have finished with the cock block. Just about to cruise out into the weekend. Yeah, need a break. I've been back at work for one day, so looking forward to the weekend. But before we do, we're going to start a little bit of a competition on a Friday, and it is essentially Sydney versus Sydney in a battle of who's the best. Now, throughout the week, we get great callers from all around this great city, less so from Mossman, but, largely from the entire city. And you provide great stories, great jokes, great anecdotes, whatever it is. And we've selected from a group the finalists and then an ultimate winner who wins the prize, not just for them, but for their town, for their home ground for the week in a battle of Sydney. What are we calling this, Liam?
Well, as you say, it's all about where these people are from because they win it not just for themselves, but for their suburb. So, Battle of the Burbs.
Okay, I wanted to call it Deathmatch Sydney, but it sounds too aggressive, doesn't it? Let's call it Battle of the Burbs then. Let's see who wins this week.
Well, Sydney, it's Friday, and as much as Merrick thinks he's a legend...
Ooh, I am talented.
It's time to celebrate the real heroes and the suburbs they live in. If you're looking for something to do this weekend, head out to Blacktown with Paul. He's guaranteed to show you a good time.
The fellow that we used to work with, his kids were young and he just told them that he was going to take them out for a treat and he took them to Liquorland. and the kids were all excited and they got to play in a fridge full of ice or something like that.
But if hanging out in bottle shops isn't exciting enough for you, maybe Dave has some better ideas to keep the kids busy.
10 years ago, I bought a parasail to tow behind our boat. We have never used it, and then my son decided he wanted to have a go, so we hooked it up behind my car.
Oh, I... Dave!
Has your son been found?
If you've been noticing a few less ducks around the beaches recently, you can blame Dane from Lane Cove's mate for that.
I have no idea about the legality, but I do know a guy who did take a duck from a saltwater body of water, and it was apparently very rough to eat, so stick to the freshwater ducks.
Saltwater ducks?
No. They're seagulls usually, or even worse, he's off to pelican.
But if it's real fine dining you're after, swing by Jared's place in Menai this weekend and ask for the 10-minute noodles.
Talking about what you've done when you've had a few, what have you tried to attempt?
I tried to cook 10-minute noodles in my mum's good microwave. I put it in the packet and everything. Kelly me forgot to put the water in and put it in for 10 minutes and fell asleep.
Okay. I'm not going to tell you how to eat your noodles, Jared, but it does, like, I mean, the indicator for time spent cooking is on the packet. 2 minutes, not...
2 minutes. Yeah. I looked at it. Yeah, 20 minutes, you'll be all right.
On you, Jared, you bloody legend.
Thank you for visiting Merrickville. Please sign the visitors book at Merrickville FM on Facebook or Twitter and tell us about your stay.
We might have taken that metaphor too far.